Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for part one of a three-part series that John Huber, Dr. John Huber, and I are going to be doing. You know, the thing that brought this to my attention, I've talked about it before. I've talked about it with psychiatrists. I talked about it with Dr. Frieda. Got some really good advice from her. The one comment I have to make is purely and simply the fact that the problem that we have right now called COVID-19 and the psychological impacts of it is not going away for any time soon. And I think people have to be very much on guard of that. Number one, they have to be aware of the fact that they are going to be challenged mentally for probably, I would say, John, at least another 6 months before we come out of the other end of the tunnel. I want my experts, and let me tell you, Dr. John Huber is very much an expert. I want my experts, John, i.e. you, to be able to help people, because the amount of anger that I see, and anger I know is a sign of depression, that I see in our neighborhood, that I see even in my family, is absolutely staggering. Given that as a starting point, John, how do we keep a lid on that anger?
Well, you know, that's a really complicated question. And it would be real simple just to say, well, you just, you know, count to 10 and hold your breath. And, you know, the thing is, all those simple things, if they worked, we wouldn't be having issues with it.
Right.
And what I started doing in my practice with my patients is focus on what's really going right in your life, you know? And you know, I've been on the air doing talks about mental health for a long time, and it's kind of my opening statement. Everybody goes, how are you doing? And I'm amazing.
Right.
And I say that wholeheartedly, not because I'm somehow, you know, a narcissist and like that, but because the fact is I go to my hospitals where I see my patients that are dying. They're having trouble just taking their next breath of air. And when I wake up in the morning and I put my feet on the ground, they might hurt, my knees might ache, but man, I'm putting my feet on the ground. I'm taking a deep breath. You know, I've got a shelter. I got a roof over my head, and you know, I'm breathing without any kind of oxygen or without any kind of respirator. Man, I am doing amazing. And it sounds ridiculous, but just by starting your day off like that, it just puts you in the right direction. We all know what's going wrong. I mean, we could sit back and we could harp on that all day long, but the real skill in being a human being in this world today is finding what's going right and talking about it and staying focused on it. You know, we see movies and plays and theater and songs and all this, and look at the critics. It is so easy to talk bad about somebody's talent, somebody's art, somebody's product, somebody's project. The real skill, and probably the last people that really did a good job of it was that team Siskel and Ebert. And unfortunately, they're not with us anymore.
Right.
But man, they would get out there and they would tell you, oh, technically this needs to be improved. But man, what I really loved about the movie, even bad movies, they would find something good about the movie or why it was worth going to see. You know, maybe it's not good for you, but this is the perfect show to bring your grandson to, you know, that kind of a thing. They always found something positive to do. And, you know, I love entertainment and movies and music, and I would watch them. They had their TV show on the weekends, and I would watch them. And I said, you know, if I ever become a critic, that's the way I want to be, is find a way to show what I like about something. And as I became a psychologist and I studied human behavior, you know, telling people what you like about something is a very courageous thing, because it makes you vulnerable. It shows the weak spot, so to speak, in the way that it shows you what you value in life and what is important to you. And I think we're getting away from that as a whole society, a whole culture. And it's too easy to just rip something to shreds instead of saying, you know, we all know the quality of this, but what is it that makes today worth getting out of bed for and moving forward. And that's what we need to start focusing on as a population. And that's what I started working on with my patients. And honest, it's hard. We're so practiced at the negative. I mean, think about going to kindergarten when you were a little kid and you made a mistake and the teacher would tell you no, and you'd get upset and they'd go, oh, you need to learn to take criticism better. And they did that all through high school, all the way through college, writing your dissertation in grad school, all this kind of stuff. But nobody ever told you how to take accolades when somebody says you did a good job. So we make excuses. And, you know, as a college professor, that was one of my things. The top 3 to 5 students, grade wise, I would send out emails and tell them, you know, I'm really impressed and thank you for doing good. And they, you know, they would make excuses and I would use that as a teaching moment with them. No, you did what was required of you. You know, you say it was an easy test because you got 100 on it, but 15% of the class failed it.
Yeah.
Okay. If it was that easy, you know, they wouldn't have failed. The thing is, you did what I asked you to do as essentially your boss in learning something new in education. And that is worth being commended for. And it's hard to take good compliments. I mean, you and I talk about it. We try to thank each other and we tell each other what we like about each other. And we often, you know, we step back and, well, you know, but what we need to do is just say thank you and take it, because we don't get enough of that and we don't give enough of it. And, you know, you can tell my kids, and we can get them on the phone now if you wanted to. We could pull them up here. And, man, every day I find something to tell them why I love them and why I think they're great. And it may have been right after I got mad at them for doing something they shouldn't have been doing. But I'm always there with the compliments. And I think we don't do that enough. And I think as my patients learn, they have to reframe their world.
And why is that, John? Doc, stop just for a second. That seems just like that seems just like common sense to me. Why is that the case in our society, Johnny?
Because it's so easy to be hateful. And we that's what we get in the media. That's what we get in the news. It sells stories. You know, these horror stories, you know, slasher movies do much better at the box office than Harlequin movies. You know, Harlequin has to go on that 300 channel on your cable box because, you know, it doesn't do as well at the cinema. And, you know, it's, We're kind of drawn to it. It's the dark side. We want to see it. And to some extent, we start taking on part of that, you know, and we need to start moving to the light side. And I use that kind of metaphorically, not necessarily to white or black or anything else like that, but because we have to start reframing our world and looking what's amazing about it. You know, we had a freeze here in Texas a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you did.
And everybody was distraught. And I was like, but look what we're doing, man. We're out with our neighbors and we're spending time with our friends and we're helping each other out. And it's actually kind of amazing. We kind of bonded with a lot of people that we hadn't really spent a lot of intimate time with, but they're our next door neighbors. So we see them all the time. And now all of a sudden we're bailing them out. You know, we're out there and they got our numbers and water pipes are busting and we're out there fixing things and keeping their houses from having, you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage done. And it's appreciated. And that's all I got was a thanks. That's all I wanted. And it was awesome.
You know, Johnny, I got to tell you, I have a friend who is a surgeon. He has put together a workbook, basically, how to make pain and suffering easier. And it's a great workbook. Kathy and I are using it right now. He basically, he's a little bit more, I would have to say, non-secular than you are. I know you're a religious man, but I also know that you're not emphasizing this like Dr. Chuck is. I want to talk about that in the next segment. We're up to about a minute behind us right now. I'd like to record another. I want to get as many segments as we can. And for lack of better terms, you know, you guys out there, this is professional psychological advice. You can agree or you can disagree, but you know what? I guarantee you it's going to help you. Dr. Huber has helped me unknowingly, immeasurably over the years, and he can do the same for you. if you have any other topics within the area of keeping your head straight during this COVID crisis, you let me know, and I will definitely pass it on to Dr. John. The next topic I want to talk about is dealing with adversity, specifically dealing with psychological adversity, which comes from other people criticizing you and when you feel it's totally unnecessary. Big John and I will talk about that tomorrow. Anything else you want to talk about, you please let me know via the blog. Dr. Huber, you're a saint. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. Have an amazing evening.
I will.